Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. My name is Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute. We have our director, Dewey Thompson, and associate director, Ray Lyon, with us today as we talk about team dynamics. So, Ray, I'm going to start with you because I'd like you to be able to define for me exactly what this means.
When we talk about team dynamics, really what we're talking about are kind of the behaviors that drive the team. And these really come from just the different personalities. They're usually just based on the roles, but more about how we play with one another in the sandbox, so to speak. So this is how the team interacts with each other on the team. So thinking about those behaviors that drive the team, that's what team dynamics is.
You know, and I think this is an interesting topic for me in particular, because when as we were talking about this for this episode, I started recognizing that through a lot of my journey, my professional journey prior to coming to MTI or even some other workplaces, this was the first place we talked about the importance of this topic. And I don't think that when we go through school, when we go through life, that we're really conditioned to focus on how we need to work better as a team. And so why is it important overall?
I think it's important to talk about the team dynamics because it sets the expectation of how we're going to interact with
Absolutely.
One another.
Absolutely. It also can really address the culture too. You know, if you're not careful with your team dynamics, you can create a poor culture for your team members. So it is important to bring this stuff out in the open. You know, we're pretty good. I think managers, supervisors, leaders are usually pretty good about delegating certain things that need to get done. You know, we delegate a project. We have to get that report written. We have to go do this. We have to go do that. But I think some of the areas that leaders are not so good at setting the example is, how are we going to treat each other in the sandbox? What kind of a culture are we trying to create? And what are the behaviors that really, like Ray said, what are the behaviors that really support that culture? So if we could be really missing a whole heck of a lot of great opportunities here if we're not talking about what is appropriate behaviors of how we're going to treat each other on this team.
Absolutely. I always, you know, with everything, with people, there's always two sides of what's going on. There's, like Dewey was talking about, there's the content side, the technical side, the work that's getting done, right? Those expectations of what our department is meant to do. And then there's always that emotional side, right? It's the people side of things. It's the trust that's going to happen. It's the way we're going to get the work done, you know, the emotions behind everything. And so that's the side that goes unspoken, right? And those things just kind of develop. So I see how you respond to me, and then that's how I respond back. So if you're not going to take this serious, then neither am I, right? And then that kind of just plays off of one another. And so if you're more intentional about talking about those things, like we are at Missouri Training Institute, then we kind of set those behavioral norms. We learn how to play together, and then we can still get the content done, right? The technical stuff, but now we know how to interact.
Yeah, you see that a lot, Ray, don't you? If you're, as a leader, not being intentional about setting what these expectations are, they're going to be created whether you like it or not, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Either in a very negative way, if you just let it develop on its own, or are you going to drive that culture?
Right.
When you get into teams and you know that they haven't done the work of being intentional, what are some of the behaviors that you typically see, you
think,
right?
First of all, I just want to say that weak leadership is the number one cause of poor team dynamics. There's two main causes, but weak leadership is the first one. Now, what behaviors do I see? The first thing that comes to my mind is a lot of blaming and finger pointing, right? Why something didn't get done up to standards, didn't get done, you know, missed deliverables, timelines, things like that. So I see a lot of blaming that happens, a lot of passive aggressive, you know, kind of, you know, cheap shots, so to speak, a lot of judging that happens. Burnout occurs a lot more, kind of that stressed, overwhelming feeling. You see the same people doing the majority of the work, right? You always have those go-to people that just pick up the pieces that other people, you know, just kind of lollygag. I also see a lack of trust.
You know,
people don't trust one another, and there's a whole host of behaviors. I'll let you guys talk about what comes with a lack of trust, but excuses I see a lot of times.
You know, I'm curious because I'm hearing this really depends on good leadership, and leadership really drives this forward. So what happens if this really hasn't been a focus for you as a leader, and now you're trying to revisit it, right? You want to build your workplace back up again by focusing more on these team dynamics. Where do you start?
I think you start with a vision of what kind of a team you want to have. And do remember that, you know, different types of industries may have different types of teams, right? What they're really trying to achieve. You know, an industry that's very highly regulated, you know, perhaps, you know, they have to have a lot more checks and balances. That's going to be different than maybe a team that's a very creative type of team. But I think it starts with the leader sitting down and trying to think to themselves and to really identify what kind of a team, you know, and how, more importantly, what are the behaviors that we're going to use to treat each other, you know, in our interaction with one another, to make sure that we're being very deliberate to identify what those things are. So it starts with the vision, I think, about what the team is. Beyond that, I think it's also about getting your team involved, setting them down and maybe asking them, you know, you have your own idea about what kind of a team you're trying to create, but to set them down, what kind of a team would they like to participate in as well? And chances are you'll probably start to hear a lot of the same types of visions, you know, among your team. And then from that, it's a matter of then making sure that we talk about that in our team meeting so that we clarify the expectations of people's behavior. And then when people kind of go outside those expectations, again, that's as a leader, that's where coaching comes into play. Yesterday in that meeting, you were seemed a little abrupt. You know, what might be going on there? And, you know, what kind of an outcome did we get from that, as opposed to maybe taking the time to maybe listen to your teammate? You know, what would the outcome be then? So, leaders have a lot of responsibility here, not only in helping to shape it, be intentional about what it is you're trying to create, but to coach people along the way to what that, the realization of that team environment, those team dynamics.
Right. If weak leadership got you there, it's also changing your behavior as the leader. And that's going to be tough for you if you haven't addressed those, you know, inappropriate behaviors originally. And so you've got to really kind of, you know, strengthen up to be able to coach either one-on-one or even in those team meetings when somebody's stepping all over the other person or making an excuse and kind of saying, hey, you know, I thought we agreed that we were going to take individual responsibility, or, you know, and just kind of calling those people. I don't think you'll have to do that very often. Once you do it once or twice, and people are going to be like, oh, she really means it. You know what I mean?
Oh, but absolutely. We see this one of my favorite examples is, let's say that you're in a brainstorming session and Brianna, you throw up a pretty wild and crazy idea. And as soon as somebody, you know, let's say that Ray then in that moment shuts that down. Oh, that's a crazy idea. That'll never work. And if the leader doesn't call that out, right, in that moment, then the leader is essentially saying it's okay to diss each other's ideas, right? It's okay to speak to each other disrespectfully. And so it's those small little moments of leadership that as the leader, you got to be able to recognize, and then you got to be able to coach.
So go back. And when you're setting those behavioral norms, like Dewey was talking about, that's when you want to get around all sides of it. And so not only like, okay, so you say, we're going to respect each other. Great. You write that on the chart paper, right? We're going to respect each other. Though, oh yes, everybody's nodding their head. Yes, yes, yes. And then you go, okay, so what does that look like?
Right.
And that's exactly when you say, okay, well, if somebody comes up with an idea that's really crazy and wild, we will not shut it down. We will say, tell me more about that. So you talk about what it looks like. You talk about how you're going to support crazy and wild ideas. You talk about, well, let's say somebody does say, that's stupid, that'll never work. Wait a minute, what do we say to that person? You know, so you get around it so that it's still legit to go, wait a minute, Ray, we're not going to shut down ideas, remember? And then everybody's going, oh yeah. You know, so it's not the leader's not having to be the bad guy always. Peer to peer can call each other out.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's the best kind of accountability.
Yeah. And I want to speak to that just a little bit. We mentioned a lot about leadership here, but what is the responsibility of the individual team members as well? When I came to MTI, and I've mentioned before that we were the first team to really sit down to talk about these things and to talk about the importance of working together. I came with the presumption that I could be kind of independent and work on my tasks and be successful. We have an interdependency, like just naturally as human beings, whether it's in the workplace or beyond. And so I think we have to really shift our mindset to really wanting to be on a team.
Yes. Yes, Brianna. To me, the reality is in our culture, we have been raised and believe in the sense of independence. You know, I can make my own decisions. I hold myself responsible. You know, what I do doesn't really impact others, but that's not the reality. The reality is, especially in a work team, is that the decisions you make and how you interact with your team members is going to have a direct response by mm-hmm. them, right? We operate and we live in an interdependent reality. So it's important to recognize that the decisions you're making in terms of how you are engaging with your coworkers, that does have an impact. Okay. Mm-hmm. And by really keeping that in the top of mind, I think that helps people to make better decisions about their behavior.
Well, you know, we talked about weak leadership being like the number one cause of poor team dynamics. Inappropriate individual behaviors is the number two. Mm. You know, I might not, when I join this team and, you know, Dewey's our leader, I might not be able to control his behaviors, but I can control mine.
Yes.
But that includes that I'm aware of my impact on others. And some people are and some people aren't.
When I came to MTI, you all have challenged me. And Ray, I remember particularly in one case from every week now, I want you to ask at least one person a day for help. And it was just that small little challenge that started pushing me outside of my comfort zone, thinking I, you know, could only rely on me to start formally creating, I guess, that relationship and those interdependence on our team.
That interdependency, that requires a level of trust, right? That by asking you for help, I mean, in some ways, people feel that's a very vulnerable thing, right? I'm asking you for help might indicate to you, I don't know.
Right.
And that's vulnerable, right? There's also a part that says, I'm now relying on you to do part of the project that I'm responsible for. So I have to count on you to do it as good as I would do it. And you may or may not do it as good as I think I could do it. So there's a lot of trust that goes in doing that. That vulnerability is hard.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult to be. You know, why would we want to give our coworkers ammunition to use against us? So, you know, we end up hiding things. We end up, you know, not admitting our mistakes or blaming it on other things or other processes or other people. You know, we sometimes can move into that victim, right? Where we become the victim. Oh, woe is me. I can't believe they're doing this to me. It's all their fault. And then you start to see those really poor team dynamic behaviors that we've been talking about really start to spiral.
You might have come into a team that had already bad behaviors that were going on. And probably a lot of us have.
Yeah.
You know, we walked into teams that were already formed. They already had this culture of negativity, or maybe it wasn't even negative. They just didn't like immediately get pulled into the team, you know? And so they felt like an outsider. What do you do? I mean, let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, one thing I think is important to recognize is that no matter who you you are in your team and your organization, everybody can play a leadership role. And in fact, everybody does play leadership roles. You don't have to be the formal leader to make change, to make positive change, right? To me, leadership is about influence. It's about making sure that we're doing the right thing and setting the example for others. And so that's where I would probably encourage you to start. You might not have the formal authority as a leader, but you do have authority over yourself and your own reactions to things. So one thing I think is important is to model appropriate behavior. You got to be the example of the behavior that you expect other people to exhibit.
I think there's also a level of credibility. Mm-hmm. You know, I can do exactly those things. I can be the one that says, you know what, that's on me. You know, Brianna wasn't able to get that assignment in because I didn't get it to her on time. So I'm sorry, Brianna, don't come down on her, you know, and you can do that. But I think even as the new person, and maybe if I'm even the youngest person on the team, I've got to establish my credibility before I start trying to move the needle a little bit, because I've got to prove myself before I start thinking about how I'm going to influence. So I've really got to be self-aware of how these other people play on the team and establish my credibility. But yeah, modeling that behavior. And it might take a little while, because if I'm establishing my credibility, every little behavior
counts.
Yeah,
you know, credibility is interesting. Thing, you know, how do you establish it? Becomes the question.
I actually have a story I can share with you about that on a different team I had come into. It was intriguing to me when you come in and there was a very clear group of folks who had been at this organization a long time. And then I came in and there was a couple other gals who came in at the same time. And I can remember we were all kind of stuck in that achievement mindset. We were all stuck in, let's make sure we can do the job the best we can. And one of the, we'll say the senior people in this position brought me into his office and he sits down with me and he says, look, Brianna, we're like a basketball team here. We have the seniors and we have the freshmen. He goes, the seniors don't like it when the freshmen outshine them. And that particular situation just really, set the tone for what I envisioned my career being like there, I suppose. And in a way, we've talked about this, I do recognize, though, that I had some responsibility in that as well. I came in just with that mindset of achieving, of, in a way, showboating what I could do. And I didn't try to be a part of the team. The other thing that I think I walked away from realizing there was that I wasn't assuming positive intentions by these folks either. I came in with the idea that it's a competition. Yeah. Get back to the behaviors you asked. What was my responsibility in that is I needed to be able to come back and just give them the benefit of the doubt.
But your leader basically didn't do anything to help the process.
Not only did it probably kill your motivation, but that is an example that is being set in the among the other team members, mm-hmm. right? You know, if you think about leaders that you've worked for in the past, who were those go-to leaders? You know, leaders who could always seem to achieve results of some sort. I bet those are the leaders that you were inspired by. One, you know, some of them were the ones that you were inspired by because you wanted to be a part of what it was that they were creating. You wanted to get up in the morning and, oh, yay, I get to go work on this team. I get to kind of create this with this person.
And I don't want to skip over what you said about that assuming positive intentions. It allows you to respond then more positively than I think react, you know, always in that defensive posture.
Sure.
Right. If you kind of challenge your thinking, maybe, you know, really kind of get out of that bias mindset. Yeah. Assuming that positive intention, even though at first it might hit you and then you're just like, wait a minute, let's get on the other side of that. Let's think, what if they really mean this? Mm-hmm. Right. Team dynamics are important.
They really are.
Oh, my gosh.
And it all comes down to those individual behaviors, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, from the leader as well.
Absolutely.
Well, we hope that this conversation has been beneficial to you. And if you'd like some more information on team dynamics or expansion on any of these ideas, please reach out to us with any questions or comments at mti@missouri.edu. And until the next episode,
go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.